Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said another thing learned in adversity is that a tire isn't the only thing that you can patch. We appreciate your listening today. It's good to be able to come your way with our Bible Meditations program. We hope that you've told others about the program and encourage them to listen to it as well. Well, let's return to our study. We were thinking about a statement that Paul made when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 22. He asked the question, "Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?" Is it true that man by his conduct can make God angry, can cause God to look down with, well, dissatisfaction at the manner of conduct that we are guilty of? Well, obviously, that has always been the case. Go back to the garden and man sinned. He did the wrong thing. God was unhappy. And not only is that true, besides casting them out of the garden, later, because the world became so wicked, every imagination and thought of their hearts was only evil continually, God sent a flood, and he destroyed the world with the exception of Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. They were spared from the destruction, but obviously God was displeased. We saw it in Genesis 19. When the people of Sodom and Gomorrah lived so openly wicked lives before God that God destroyed the city, sent fire and brimstone upon the city. But the question is, are we guilty of doing things that provoke the Lord? Well, can we find any examples in our lives about us that would help us to reconsider our attitude toward God and our attitude toward doing wrong? Well, we pointed out the fact that one thing, and this is where we started yesterday, one thing that we do that must provoke God is that we continue a life of sin after we have had a way to remove ourselves from that way of life. Sin came into the world by Adam, Romans 5 and verse 12. And all of us sin, Romans 3 and verse 23. Therefore, since we are guilty of sin, remember, the sin will not go to heaven. Those who are guilty of sin will not enter in to that gates or the gates of the city. They will not receive heaven as their reward. And I'm not just making that up. The book of John chapter 8 and a couple of verses, verse 24 and 21, both of them indicate that because we do not do the will of the Father, that we will be rejected by the Father. And we can't go where Jesus is. Now, we pointed out the fact that man, guilty of sin, could not justify himself. How can man have forgiveness of past sins? Is there a way to get his sins washed away, taken out of the way? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And very clearly, John 1, verse 29, that means that there is the means available to take care of our past sins. When people on the day of Pentecost were convinced that they had killed the Son of God, they'd committed a terrible sin. Do you remember their question in verse 37? "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Do about what? Well, do about our sin. We're guilty. We've crucified the Son of God. They wanted to know what can be done. They are told in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." The word "for" in the original language very clearly indicates in order to obtain. That is, if you want forgiveness of sins, you must repent and be baptized. Notice those two things, repentance and baptism, were tied together with the coordinate conjunction and, both of them necessary for salvation. When someone says, well, I was saved, but I've never been baptized, well, I hope they'll reconsider the study of this particular passage, because the passage makes it obvious that repentance and baptism are required for the remission of sins. Now, when the people did this, did they receive remission of sins? The Bible says the same day about 3,000 souls responded, were baptized that same day. Now, question, was it in order to obtain remission of sins? The answer is yes. Then did they receive remission of sins? Once again, the answer is yes. Let's look at another passage together that ties this all in. In the Roman letter, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, Paul points out the fact that we cannot continue in sin without displeasing God. What shall we say then? He asked. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he uses a very strong negative. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Now, how do we die to sin? We died to sin by our turning away from sin, repenting of our sins, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. And so very clearly, the means of obtaining forgiveness was made known to us. Well, some people obey and some do not. Wasn't that the case with a man named Felix when he trembled, but there's no indication that he obeyed? He was aware of the fact that what was being said to him is right, but he was not obedient to the will of God. Agrippa is another example. Acts 26 tells of Agrippa talking with Paul, and Paul said, do you believe the prophets? Without allowing Agrippa the opportunity of answering, he said, I know you believe. And then went ahead to explain that he wished for Agrippa that he was altogether persuaded, as Paul was. Well, the fact is then that there was a means of receiving remission of sins. It was in obedience to the will of God. Now, after Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, and says, God forbid, he asks the question, how shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? We can't go back and live a life of sin again. We were trying to get out of that kind of life and were freed from it when we were obedient to the gospel. Therefore, Paul goes ahead to explain how baptism figures into the plan of God with reference to forgiving. He points out the fact we are buried with him by baptism. Look at verse 4 of Romans 6. And we are raised, verse 4 also points this out, and verse 5, we are raised to walk in newness of life. Because our sins were taken away, we now could stand before God justified in his sight. Is it provoking God when I do what inspired men teach that I need to do? I'm sure you're aware that's not the case. So if I do what these inspired men said for me to do, repent, and I'm baptized, then is it true that my past sins are gone? In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul was told by Ananias, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We'll say more about this tomorrow, the Lord willing. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.